No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me for the first edition of Just Plane Radio 2015. Yes, we are back with a full crew. Well, we're supposed to have a full crew. Right now, we're
supposed to.
We just have a co-pilot and a flight instructor. That'd be me as your co-pilot, Greg, and of course, Captain Keith. And is there a flight instructor? We're supposed to have Ed with us, but he is, I don't know, what is he? Where is he? Is he still hungover for New Year's Eve or from New Year's Eve?
Well, that's probably the case, but yeah. He's saying he's stuck in traffic.
So, that old... You know, that old trick. You know, you'd think, I don't know, he'd come up with something a little more creative.
Well, you know, he's a teacher. You would think that he's got plenty of excuses to use.
So. Yes.
But he uses
dog
that.
Ate my homework.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much the same MO of saying you're stuck in traffic and that's why you couldn't make it to the show.
That actually happened.
What?
At the end of last year.
Someone ate your homework?
Not my homework.
Your dog?
But it happened to some girl. I just caught a real quick snippet on the news of a girl that had made something.
She had created a flight plan and her dog ate the flight plan.
Her dog ate her project that she had to make for school because it was like gingerbread houses or something like that. The dog actually ate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think Eddie could use something like that, but no. He just says, I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah, really. Well, we'll see if he gets here before
he should fly because then there's no traffic.
You would think, you know, but he has this aversion to learning how to fly helicopters because that's what would solve his, you know, this problem.
It would.
In Orlando, where we're based out of, is fixed wing stuff. And he'd have a tough time flying it in to the Just Plane Radio broadcastoplex.
Yeah, a little tough getting it on.
The runway is way too short here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they won't work for a fixed wing plane. But a helicopter, he could land it right about out and back. That would be that would work.
Or on the rooftop.
Yeah, but he won't do it. I don't know, maybe his New Year's resolution.
He's too conservative. See, you think I'm conservative.
It's really him?
Ed's really the conservative.
He's the closet conservative, is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right, well, we'll let him fend for himself here when we abuse him accordingly until he gets here. But Happy New Year to you. And, you know, hopefully you have started making your New Year's resolutions for your piloting for 2015. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. But we got to cover what's been in the news, which it's kind of weird. You know, during the holidays, the news cycle has a tendency to be, well, pretty much non-existent.
Right.
But it has been crazy the last week or so with all the nonsense going on in New York, you know, some other things that wall-to-wall coverage of this Asian airliner that crashed, you know, the second one for Malaysian Air. It's actually not Malaysian Air, but it's in that same general vicinity.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's obviously a tragic situation any way you look at it. But I got to say, you know, if anyone needs a New Year's resolution, I believe it is CNN. Because they have turned into the crash news network. Haven't they?
Well, I mean, crash news, but also anything that's negative, they will take it and just blow it up.
Speculation about what happened to that airplane before they actually found out or, you know, found some of the wreckage there in the ocean was crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was some of the stuff that they were saying, well, it was could have been the pilot and he went up too high. He obviously stalled the plane. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, did you see this?
Yeah, I saw a lot of it, you know, and they're looking into the background of the pilots and, you know, weather might have been a factor in this, you know. You got to let these things take their course.
Exactly. There's no way. Know? Nobody knows. It was funny. One of the guys on CNN, one of their aviator, you know, I guess their aviation specialist or one of them,
yes.
He did keep saying that, you know, we get a lot of complaints about all the speculation we're making, but we're really trying to just, you know, give the family something to think about. I was like, are you kidding me? This is about some crazy ratings idea that somebody in the back room at CNN believes that if they do this wall-to-wall coverage, it's going to be the best ratings bonanza they've ever had. I guess that's what they learned from the other one that they had earlier in the year, you think?
Well, it may be that, or it may be just the, you know, we have to have 24-hour news coverage, and there hasn't been a whole lot of news, you know, except for the Ferguson, Missouri stuff and the New York stuff. And
yeah, I mean, it, look, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's negative, it's obviously a top story on any of the news networks. And I don't mean to single out CNN in that regard. However, on the aviation stuff, it seems that CNN has went like crazy with this stuff, with the speculation, especially early on when no one knew what was going on other than, hey, we have a plane missing. Where is it? They're searching for it. And, you know, really, that was the whole story. But they went way beyond bringing in aviation experts and what probably happened. The fact that this this carrier was one of the first low-budget carriers in Asia.
Right.
And, you know, what would that be, like Spirit Airlines or like Southwest type of thing for them, maybe?
Right, yeah.
And they're making this connection like, well, oh, because it's a budget airline, maybe they weren't as safe and they were cutting corners and that's why it crashed. You know, that's kind of like the thing they're putting out there. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I would like to hear Southwest rebuttal to that, because Southwest has always been referred to as a budget airline.
Yeah.
You know, and Southwest is a very, you know, stable and successful airline. You know, they've done it on a budget. And they've made it available for other people to fly instead of just the business people.
Right.
And
but
so
they
families
all have
can now
to
go.
Abide by the same rules.
Right.
So I don't know what oversees them. They don't have the FAA there, I guess. I don't know what the organization like the FAA in Asia is. But they all have to maintain a certain standard, whether it's a low-budget carrier or a carrier that's been around for 100 years or whatever.
They do, but, you know, other parts of the world standards are not as high as the U.S. standards.
Right. I heard that discussed, too, and that's what I wanted to bring you into the mix, because you obviously have some commercial experience.
Right.
And if anybody would know if there is any validity to a, you know, I don't know if it was an argument or, you know, the conjecture of making this type of thing on the news, would know, it would be Captain Keefe. And I mean, you've talked enough about this before to make me think that there isn't. But I don't know. Maybe there you could shed some light on that and fill us in. What do you think, Keith?
Well, you know, there are some of the lower class, if you will, countries where aviation is not as prominent,
mm-hmm.
that their standards aren't quite as high as the U.S. But if you look at any of the European and most of the Asian countries, the CAA, which is their version of the FAA, is just as strict and in some ways even more strict than our governing agency is. And so, no, I don't think that's going to play a factor into this at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
In the fact that this is the second one in that area doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, now, one of the things that is different is the radar coverage that these areas have is not as extensive as it is here in the U.S. But even us, as soon as you get out over the water, you lose radar coverage.
Yeah. Well, and they fly over water much, much more because of where they're located. So, I mean, that's understandable. Some of those areas are very remote, obviously, so I could understand that. But we're not talking about third world countries flying around there either. I mean, we're talking about, I think this plane was going from Singapore or somewhere between Singapore and someplace.
Right.
And Singapore is a huge, huge, highly developed city.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I did hear that could very well have been a part of this is that the pilots did request a change of altitude or heading for weather, and it was denied because of traffic.
Right.
And, you know, that's a problem. And it's getting less and less here in the U.S.
Yeah.
But if you're heading at a thunderstorm and you tell air traffic control, you know, hey, I need a, you know, 10 degrees of heading change for, you know, a buildup or something, if they say no, then you have to declare an emergency and go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Once you declare an emergency, you can now deviate from anything that the ATC, any regulation, any emergency or anything in the case of an emergency. you can deviate.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that, it doesn't look like.
But he could have, is what you're saying.
He could have, yes.
Yes. And in that case, he would have told air traffic control there that, hey, look, I don't care if there is traffic. I got to get the hell out of here. I'm going up. You better make sure the other guys know and clear me a path.
Yes.
That's what you're saying he could have done or should have done, maybe?
Yeah. He's, you know, either go up, go down, left, right, whichever direction it was that he wanted to go, and ATC said no, because I've got other traffic there. Declare an emergency, and then you can do anything you need to.
Okay. Well, there you go. He was the pilot in command.
That's correct.
So, but once again, we have no idea if indeed it was the weather that messed him up. It looks like that possibly could have been the case. But time will tell. All the conjecture was a little crazy. We'll get into that. And whether or not these low-budget airlines are less safe. Are they? We'll talk about that and much, much more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying away, is that a bad thing?
Only if you're a human being. Fly away, dance all night, sing all day. I've grown these wings
so I can fly away. This is Just Plane Radio, the rave edition for 2015. I think this is what was playing when Captain Ed was out there celebrating New Year's Eve, but he did just walk in. He has glow sticks in his hand. He's wearing some kind of weird fluorescent paint all over him. But welcome, regardless.
It was more like stumbled in, wasn't it?
Is that, maybe.
Watch it.
Was that dancing or was that a seizure?
we'll just call him Ellen.
All right, well, welcome and happy
New
Year.
That's what I do to embarrass my son whenever music's playing.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Start doing the Dougie or one of those things?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's well, like, Dad.
You know, it is good to have a full crew here for our first show.
Yeah, he doesn't have much room to talk anymore, though.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He's got some dance moves, though.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like father, like son. God help them.
Yes.
Anyway, we got a full crew finally here for our first edition of Just Plane Radio for 2015. A lot of stuff in the news there, Ed. And you walked in as we were finishing up our little chat about the Asian airliner. But I want to go back to that before we start abusing him more for being late, because it is kind of crazy news coverage that was going on with that, especially at least from my perception of CNN. It was crazy. They did this on the last Malaysian airliner crash, and they were going way overboard with their coverage on that.
You mean they weren't checking their facts?
Well, I don't know if they were checking their facts. I don't know if they were really focusing on giving any facts. It was all like, well, we don't really know what happened, but this is what it could be.
The problem is there is no facts yet, except for that an airplane went missing.
Right. Yeah.
And everything is speculation. And that's part of the problem with the news media today. They don't have to. And that's everybody except for us, of course.
Of course.
You know, you got to put the disclaimer in there. But, you know, the media no longer has to broadcast facts.
No.
You know, they can just put anything out there that they want to.
What is your source? The internet.
Yeah. And, of course, mm-hmm. everything is true on the internet, right?
Of course. Exactly.
So, you know, they can say anything they want to, and they don't have to back anything up.
Well, I'm guessing I'm not alone as a, you know, somewhat informed aviator after doing this show for a couple of years and knowing enough about hanging around pilots, not necessarily having my certificate as a pilot, but that's a whole nother story. But I've been around you guys enough to know and pick up a few things to realize that some of these people that they're bringing in as aviation experts, I mean, some of the guys they bring in, you can tell they are pilots, and you can see them cringe a little bit when they start to go in these areas like, well, we really don't know, but if it was this, it could have been this, 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 and this. But I'm thinking like, wow, they have to be like very conflicted giving out some of this information. Do you think? Are you guys with me on this?
I would be, you know, and Ed and I have both have had opportunities, shall we say, of being interviewed for different things, and we have always turned them down.
Yeah. The news guys have called you up and said, we need an aviation expert. Yeah. Will you come on the TV and make us sound smart?
In the office that we're at, that mm-hmm. we share a building with all the news outlets for the Orlando area.
Right.
So, you know, they have easy access to us, and, you know, we as a policy, we just don't comment.
Well, you know, send them my way. I'll go on, and I'll just say when they start to make these, what do you think happened? I don't know. Don't be an idiot by guessing. Okay, moving
now,
on.
Now that fun. We this could do fun. That.
Yeah. You know, we went to the Christmas party with all those guys.
Yeah, with these TV guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how well we know them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we share an office with them every day.
Right.
And so we're constantly talking and, you know, bantering about the different things that they do and who's getting to the news story first and, you know, what have you. And so when we do these kinds of things, you know, we have to just respectfully decline, because we don't want to be that person out there who's speculating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having what we say turned and twisted around.
Right.
And that's the thing. If they would actually let us say what we thought was appropriate, and we knew that it wouldn't be, you know, only taking this small bit of it and air the small portion that, you know.
They want that
out of context.
Meaty sound bite from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So they'd say, hey, Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals, what do you think happened to that Asian airliner?
I don't know.
Oh, we can't use that. Who got this bozo? Get us Greg from that radio show. He's an idiot. We'll put him on.
At least you're getting the reputation.
Well, wait a minute. That's not really how I meant it. See, I would call them an idiot for trying to, you know, exploit this as a story to a certain extent, beyond saying that, hey, the plane is missing or it's crashed and... You know, what do we know beyond that? We really don't know anything. And to conjecture all this other, you know, make all these guesses of what could have happened is kind of, crazy, annoying to me. I mean, you know, and thing is, it is a news story. Don't get me wrong. It should be covered, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other networks, I think, have covered it. And some of them have went a little crazy with it. And some of them, it seems like CNN, though, has turned into the crash news network. Because every time this has happened, they are going like wall to wall with three or four experts.
Did you come up with that, or do you borrow that from someone else?
I just can't. You know, I came up with it. Why?
Wow, I'm impressed.
Who would I borrow it from? Wait,
Well, I don't know. I've seen things out on Facebook, but I haven't seen that actually used before.
I'm sure I'm not alone in that mindset, yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that other people would be using the same acronym. I'm just trying to jump on board the whole aviation thing, you know. But whatever, it's a little crazy. But the one thing that did annoy me the most was saying how there was this inference put out there like, oh, maybe because this was a low-budget carrier, the first one in Asia, that, oh, they're skipping, you know, cutting corners, and it's less safe than the other carriers, and that might have led to this unfortunate incident or whatever. And I'm like, what? Why would you do this? It's bad for, obviously, the airline's business to make that type of connection, and it has no basis in fact whatsoever. They all have to abide by the same rules, right?
Yeah.
Just like Southwest and American and United, they all have to abide by the same rules, whether a low budget carrier or not. Now, the difference is, though, is there a difference, and you guys can answer this, especially you, Keith, with the experience level of their pilots. So would the older carriers have older pilots or more experienced pilots to get to that position as opposed to a lower budget airline? And could that, you know, is that a factor, you think?
I really don't think it's a factor, especially in the types of aircraft that they're flying.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the guy sitting in the right seat's not going to have as much flight time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any difference.
And I guess a lot of times, maybe a younger pilot might be more alert, more in tune, more up to date in that sense.
Yeah.
So but do the older airlines have more experienced pilots? Would they have more hours to even get into that position, you think?
When an airline like that starts out, they're going to end up advertising for a position, and the pilots from more experienced airlines are going to go over there for the opportunity to have a better position.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, flight training professionals. All right, so we are in a new year, 2015. I don't know, are you guys, were you worried at all about the people flying their planes out on New Year's Eve for fireworks or Christmas, or did you get any reports either way on that?
No.
I wanted to ask you about that last week, but you made me fly solo. And I had to recruit some, Captain Clay and Abington out in Las Vegas to, you know, round out the crew to kind of, you know.
Well, they were probably more interesting than us anyway, but.
Yeah, that's insane.
But no, flying around when there's fireworks and stuff is
it's fun. It's not something you have to avoid.
No,
because
no.
Not at all.
You don't feel like they're coming after you, those fireworks?
No, they're going 200, 300, maybe 400 feet up.
Is that all, really?
Yeah, it's not very high.
Some of those fireworks are huge, though. Yeah. I mean, and they're still only going up a few hundred feet, is what you're saying.
Now, a few years back, our good friend Doug, he and one of the customers, actually JB, one of the line supervisors at Showalter, went up, and they flew around the 4th of July fireworks downtown.
Yeah.
They went up to 1,500 feet, so 2,000 feet. They got on with approach control, so they're in the Bravo airspace. But they just circled around downtown watching the fireworks, and they said it was a great time.
What about the UAVs? Did you see any?
I did that. Just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I was only at 1,200 feet.
Yeah.
Stayed on with Tower. Tower said, yeah, I don't have any traffic at all. So we just circled.
You live life on the edge, Keith. Come on.
We still had plenty of room.
Yeah. No, that would just make it fun, though, wouldn't it? You just dodge the big big explosions. Wouldn't that be kind of
like an obstacle?
At all,
because, you know, they were still well below us.
Yeah.
But you get a different viewpoint looking down on them instead of looking up at them.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's quite impressive as
it
well.
Is.
I've seen it from a commercial carrier way, way up there on a 4th of July flight I had many years ago. But also Christmas morning, did you hear anybody issues locally with the UAVs? You know, because they were predicting that there were going to be some incidents on Christmas morning with UAVs.
Yeah, I haven't heard any.
Like somebody got that under the Christmas tree, went out and flew it into a plane or something like that. I think I saw that reported on CNN in that Asian crash.
That's what caused it.
Yeah, that's. I'm just saying. Well, I got my sources, the internet.
There so. You go.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I gave Willie the greatest gift of all.
Chase, you sure about this?
The gift of flight.
What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
I mean, you're strapped in.
I'm aware I'm strapped in.
Enjoy the ride, man.
You got it, baby.
I don't know. This something doesn't feel right.
Put him in orbit. When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Let's fly. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Did you give the gift of flight for Christmas? You know, we told you to do that. And if you didn't, well, it's not too late to make that your New Year's resolution for 2015 and share the joy of flying with someone you love or just someone.
We had a lot of people.
And a lot of people doing that?
A lot of people. I mean, Christmas, even up to Christmas Eve. Can we still get gifts? Yeah, absolutely.
Year-round, it's the perfect gift.
Mm-hmm.
Right color, right size.
Yep. Big smile at the end.
There you go.
It truly is a one-size-fits-all.
Yep.
Indeed it is. So go into your local flight school or call up Ed and Keith at Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com. Go there, get all the info you need, and reach out, and they'll hook you up as well. Right?
Right.
You would accommodate anyone listening today, and that if that's what they chose to do in 2015. That really should be, I think, everybody's New Year's resolution, including myself, to get back up in the air.
Okay.
Do some flying. Well, what is that? I hear some kind of hidden meaning in your verbal expression there, Captain Ned. What do you mean? What are you trying to say? You're not believing me?
I'm believing you.
Okay. No, 2015 will be my flying year. We're going to make this work, finally.
Okay.
He does. I'm not feeling it from him, Keith. That's not the kind of support I want from my flight instructor. Come on.
I think Ed is a, just like he doesn't think that vomiting in an airplane is a spectator sport.
No, it's not. I feel I have to participate.
Yeah. I think he feels about the same way about this.
Okay, that he has to participate?
That you have to participate.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll figure this out eventually.
Yes.
But, we were talking with Abington last week from Abington Watch Company, and she was talking about flying her plane outside of Vegas, back from California, back to her home base of operations there in Las Vegas. Hit some of the worst turbulence she had ever experienced. And I was kind of, wow, that couldn't have been that comfortable. Did you freak out? Oh, no, I'm a flight instructor. It's just part of the gig, man. You just go into, work mode. You know, you don't panic. You stop, think, and react, just like we do in diving. Right, guys?
I guess.
Well, that's what I told her.
What you do in diving?
We stop, think, and react, so we don't panic. And you apply that to flying as well.
That's good.
I don't think that's the same acronym. Aviate, navigate, and communicate.
That's right.
Yeah. And so,
how do you aviate?
Through turbulence? Well, you want to avoid it if in the first place if you can. Well,
that didn't happen. So now what do you do?
All right. So you would have to, you want to slow down a little bit, make sure you're in safe maneuvering speed.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
That's a star.
Yeah, and then you would want to go a different direction to see if you can get out of it some way, either up or down, depending on, your weather systems in front of you. You think you'd want to go higher or lower to try to find some calmer air, wouldn't you, if you could?
If you could.
Yeah. So what are you saying? If you can't?
If you can't, what are you doing?
Well, once again, you got to make sure you're at maneuvering speed. I already said that, right?
Yeah, you already said that.
That's
why I said half a star.
Half a star. Well, Well, you could turn
around.
What
are you going to do with your heading? You going to maintain heading?
Well, you're going to, try to maintain whichever direction you're going to a certain extent. I mean, you want to deviate some way to get out of that airstream, whether it's higher or lower. I mean, you could go, a different direction, I guess, too, would be an option. So,
all right, consider your Abington here.
Okay. First and of all, I got a good 100 pounds on her, so that just doesn't look right.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look right in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But I'm saying put yourself in Abington's airplane in this particular case.
Yeah.
In the flight that she was on.
Right.
And she's in turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? What do you do with your heading? Do you maintain heading or do you let the heading go?
Well, no. You would want to maintain heading. You want to make sure you're going in the direction that you want to go, but you may want to go higher or lower to try to find some calmer air, wouldn't you?
What about altitude? Maintain altitude or you just let the altitude go?
No, you have to at least maintain altitude to make sure you're not losing altitude, for sure. You'd want to maintain your course. And, if you're hitting turbulence, you got to fly the plane. You got to aviate first. So you got to maintain control of the plane. Of course, you got to do that. I guess I'm thinking ahead of myself.
Maintaining control of the airplane, does that necessarily mean you're going to stay at the same altitude?
Well, you want to maintain the same, the same altitude as much as you possibly can. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll overstress the airplane.
How do you over what?
You will overstress the airplane.
If you fight it, you mean? Trying to keep
altitude?
If you try
altitude? And maintain altitude.
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
You just try and maintain wings level.
Oh, okay. Just try to,
ride it out. Maintain wings level and ride it out.
Mm.
That's the least stress on the airplane.
Okay. So let the wind take you where it will. Just keep the plane horizontal. Level. Yeah.
It's more appropriate.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess I get a demerit or what is that? You took half my star back away? What happened there?
Yeah, I think the star went away.
Well, you know what? It's the first show of the year, so, the grading scale starts back to zero. So we're like, I can only go up from here is my point. I'm trying to create a bell curve in my grading system for
flying.
When
there's only one of you, the curves don't work.
Oh, no, it does. It does, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really important for everybody to know, though, is that you just want to maintain wings level and
not worry about going up or down and not so much.
Ride it out.
Yeah, ride it out.
Just ride it out. So not worrying about trying to get up out of it, you would if you... No, you don't even try to do that?
If it's not too bad, yes, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
But if you get some pretty rough turbulence, which, if it doesn't take a whole lot of turbulence in a small aircraft to call it severe turbulence. If you're in severe turbulence, no, just maintain your wings level and ride it out.
Hmm. Okay. But if it's minor or maneuverable, I mean, that's what she said, is that I asked her, and she said, well, we got into maneuvering speed, which slowed us down quite a bit.
See, that's how he answered the question, right, is he heard from her last week.
Well, it's called the learning from other people's things.
Okay, negative one star.
What?
Cheating?
That's called being creative.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what did they do?
Resourceful.
Did they climb or did they descend?
You know what? I don't remember what she said in that regard. I think they were coming back to Vegas. So they were already, coming back and starting their descent back to the airport. And when they started getting back into it, they hit this turbulence. And then they actually had to look out for another jet, and they had to kind of consider their
wake turbulence.
Yeah. Their wake turbulence as well, so that was an issue. So they couldn't really get out of it, because if they would have went up, they would have got into his turbulence, I believe is what she was saying. So she said they split up the duties as they would do, because he was a flight instructor as well. She was just along for the ride to help. So they, just went right into work mode. Like, okay, you're doing this. You fly the plane. I'm going to get this and get all this other stuff done. And we just went to work and it was no big deal. But it was a little bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cinch the belts. Mm-hmm. Put everything away. Don't let fly around in the airplane. That's one good reason to have cockpit organization, have everything tied down to begin with, because you never know when you're going to hit turbulence.
Yeah, yeah.
But especially if you're in mountainous areas, which, we don't have it to deal with any of that around here.
Mm-mm.
But, you get out there, in the Midwest, you know, you can get mountain waves off of the Rockies all the way to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, people don't understand that, how those mountain waves work. But, you know, that can go all the way to Chicago, and it happens on a regular basis.
Now, these waves you're talking about are because of the mountains?
Yes.
And so, but how does that affect Chicago? What? You mean on your way to Chicago, you fly over the mountains, and that wake from the mountains is what's throwing everything off?
Yes.
Okay. But by the time you get to Chicago, there's no mountains anymore.
Oh, come on. You got to try to explain a little bit more than that to them.
Really?
Not to Greg. It won't work.
Well, that's probably true. He's learned that much. And, you know, I guess we have that going for us. But, you know, the FAA is already putting out reports or press releases saying that this new next-gen technology that they're trying to implement will cut down on wake turbulence for passenger planes because they'll be able to provide pilots with more deviation options. Does this sound like part of a sales pitch? Or?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's how it sounded like.
Yeah, but I think it'll actually work, though.
I think it'll work.
I do. All right.
We'll talk about that and much, much more next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
When it comes to product development, Lightspeed Aviation operates with a simple strategy. Know your customer well and remain committed to the relentless product evolution that expands performance to the edge of technological possibilities. This approach has made Lightspeed the innovation leader and, along with their reputation for remarkable customer support, earned them tremendous respect and brand loyalty. See what's possible when a legacy of innovation and commitment to supporting a pilot's passion meet at LightspeedAviation.com.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
Fly away, fly away. As a bird can take us away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Captain Ed and Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals round out your crew for 2015, the first edition of the big show. And probably the best, from what I can tell.
Well, it's because we have no others yet.
What?
For 2015.
What are you talking about? I don't know
well,
what you mean
first,
by that.
First, it's the only show for 2015, so it's got to be the best.
Dude, don't squash my mojo, okay? Really. Anyway.
I can so see through you.
Still hungover from New Year's Eve, obviously. You know, I think right before the break, and Ed pointed this out, I may have said wake turbulence is part of this issue with the next gen sales pitch.
Yeah.
They're saying that this new technology will cut down on turbulence, not wake turbulence. I mean, basically, the idea is that this technology will give air traffic control more information to provide pilots as far as weather and options to deviate. You know, maybe like that airliner there in Asia that crashed last week or something. But this potentially will cut down on turbulence incidents, period, because it'll give pilots, I don't know, more advanced warning of a potential turbulent area, and they'll be able to wire it out there to the plane with this new next-gen technology, and therefore the pilots will be able to deviate around it before it even becomes an issue. Is it, and can you see that? You can't see turbulence, can you?
No, you can't see turbulence. But, you know, as pilots begin to report turbulence from different weather systems and so forth,
right?
You know, they can, you know, they plot those positions out. And so they'll tell you. And if you're listening to any kind of a radio, you'll hear them, you know, hey, what's the ride like? What's the ride like? ATC is constantly asking pilots, what's the ride like?
Right.
And so that gets reported to the people behind you.
Got it.
So now these people will be able to deviate. And with the next gen, since everything is much more direct, they'll be able to go around these areas a lot quicker and easier without having to have a whole lot of extra traffic.
Okay. So it'll just give them more direct paths and just a little bit more flexibility.
Correct.
To inform. Maybe that's what they need to work on as part of this next gen technology, as opposed to that and relying on pilot reports, which is what Abington did too. She said she called in. She goes, yeah, if you go look up online, you'll see my report from our Baron, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like, well, why don't they just figure out a way to, map out turbulence? Can't that be done?
Sure.
Isn't that just like, well, I mean, so how, what, you know, computers can't do that yet?
They do.
So why do planes have a turbulence indicator? We have lightning indicators, but there's not turbulence indicators, is there?
No.
No.
But could there be? Is my guess. I'm asking the question. Am I coming up with like a $1 million idea that some genius has to create? And
you know how you get $1 million in aviation?
Spend two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing in diving. I'm in that industry too.
Good choices.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I'm wondering, is there any technology that allows you to see turbulence? I mean, because turbulence is just what? It's just a weather pattern type of thing, isn't it?
And they can forecast a lot of it, and they do, and they're doing a much better job today than what they used to in forecasting turbulence.
Yeah, but it's still an informed type of like, okay, we have these elements at play. We could have turbulence. So it's similar to predicting a tornado.
Yeah,
and the conditions might be right, but we don't really know if it's there actually forms.
Absolutely, you know. And I've flown through many areas where, you know, they say it's going to be really rough, and you go through and it's as smooth as glass. And so, you know, you report that to them. And I've also been where people
it's like,
say
you guys suck.
Nice and smooth. And it's, you know, people in the back are thinking they're at Disney World still with Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You know, so it's not a...
I was on that flight.
Yeah.
It's not a...
That was you up front?
It's not 100% accurate. And
okay.
So
we need to work on getting
still...
It.
Pilot reports, and so pilots need to make those reports.
And that's one thing that I harp on with our customers is, you know, pilot reports are some of the best information for a pilot to know what's really going on out there, and nobody gives them. They don't want to take the time.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because, what do I look for first? Do I have any pilot reports? Okay, you know, clear blue in a million, you don't get pilot reports. Or when I take off, I climb through the overclass layer. If ATC doesn't ask me what the bases and the tops were, I'm too busy doing my flight, and I forget about reporting back to... You know, I try to do it just because I know there are other instructors on the ground wanting to get flights in, and you know, I'll put a pilot report out so they know that, hey, 3,000 clear on top, you know, so they know to come out and do maneuvers and whatever up above the clouds.
Right. Well, and that would make sense. But isn't it more of a thing that the pilots would have a tendency to report it more when there were issues as opposed to a perfect flying day?
No, I think in all reality, I think if it was easier to report, pilots would do it.
Yeah.
You know, if they could just simply get on with air traffic control and say, you know, hey, this is where I'm at. You know, especially, you know, like if you're on flight following, it's really easy to call the controller and say, you know, hey, I'm in, moderate turbulence right here.
Right.
That's really easy. But
if you're on a VFR flight plan
or whatever, and you've got to, you know, call the flight service station or make the report on the ground, it's just too cumbersome and pilots aren't going
to
do it.
I'm already hanging off the rudder of this plane, and you want me to take extra time to tell the next schmo what the weather's like? No. That, at least for me, that's how it was.
Well, but let's look at what technology can do for us in this situation, too.
Yeah.
You know, the,
predict
what,
it.
What, well, I'm just saying in the reporting side of things.
Okay.
We look at what has come about in things like for flight as far as opening flight plans via for flight instead of having to get on the radio and call.
Right.
You know, there might be some technology with through Stratus and through other devices like that, that there might be a solution to that to make it simple and easy. Because I know we have more people filing VFR flight plans, opening and closing them, now that they can do it directly through their smartphone, either with ForeFlight or with Lockheed Martin's website or through their iPad. As long as they have data connectivity, they can open it and they can close it. And I've seen more of it happening.
Yeah. Make it easier in 2015 for us to do in-flight pilot reports.
I'm all for it.
I like it. And we'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.